retiring, but not entirely retiring, because as you head down to Cortland, I'm sure you'll be finding things to do, especially around baseball season.
Well, I can see the lights of the local ballpark from my backyard, and they've asked me to be what they call the beat reporter, that is the person who reports the games to the league. So I think I'll probably be doing that, Lord willing.
For many decades, you've been a familiar voice or a familiar column to thousands of Western New Yorkers, everything from the Courier to the Niagara Gazette to WIVB-TV. Has it hit you yet that you're about to head to Cortland?
I sent my last column in to the Buffalo Rocket about 3 days ago, and it suddenly hit me that that was it, and I was overwhelmed by sadness over the next 2 or 3 hours. I mean, I was just on the verge of depression, which is a word one shouldn't push around, but it's over. I mean, it's good. It's good that it's over, and it's time for it to be over, but that was really sad. As a matter of fact, somebody just contacted me today and said, why don't you do a piece on that wonderful radio man down in Jamestown, Jim Roselli, who just died? And I said, you know, I just don't have that forum anymore, so I'll just have to do it by ear.
You've covered a lot of topics throughout the years. You've been involved in theater. You've been involved in sports, especially baseball. If there's an immediate first thing that comes to mind that you will say was your proudest accomplishment in all your years covering things up here in Western New York, what would it be?
Well, a guy just came to the door and collected some of my souvenirs for the Miracle League to give out to the kids as treasures. And he said, I remember 1995, you were the only guy who was really covering the kind of ball that I was playing. And I'll never forget that. Now, what's that? 21 years ago, and he still remembers. And I'm getting so much of that from people. I got a letter the other day, I got an email the other day, from a woman that I reviewed in theater 47 years ago. She's now in Kansas and still remembers that I was reviewing her at that time.
What do you think it is that makes them remember you so fondly?
I always tried hard to write something that would cause somebody to say, gee, I never heard it said that way before, and clip it out and put it in their wallet. And evidently, I succeeded more than I really thought that I had. And I just keep hearing that from people. You know, you did this for me, you did that for me. I didn't do it for them. I did it because I like to spin a yarn. Yeah, I've been doing it, almost forever.
You seem very attached to the small town stories. When you were doing public address for the former Niagara Power baseball team, you would always take a moment in between innings to give a little bit of trivia about the visiting team's hometowns.
I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I do listen to people, and I listen to what people are confused about. And I'll hear somebody say, oh, yeah, Hornell, that's where the university is. No. That's Cornell. And I realized that probably three-quarters of the people in the stands didn't realize who this team was that we were playing or where they were from or what they were about. So I just started providing that information. And actually, I started doing that kind of thing when I was the announcer at Hilbert. I just like to share that information with people, and I learn a whole lot myself. I try to figure out... The people here, I know what they know, but what do they not know, and what might they not, what might they be interested in? And if I have a lot of it, I know from memory because I've lived so long. But a lot of it, I informed myself. I wanted the people to know what they were watching and maybe how it impacted their own lives.
Tell me again about just that grassroots level of baseball that really seemed to just watching you work get you fired up.
The first professional baseball game I ever saw was in Idora Park in Youngstown, Ohio. My father took me. It's like the movie Brewster's Millions. It was a roller coaster running through the middle of center field. And that really hooked me, the Youngstown Athletics. I can even remember who was in the league at that time. Matter of fact, Niagara Falls was. And that kind of baseball and that kind of enthusiasm, that just always struck me. And I'll tell you what I tried to do, Mike. I tried to apply a major league level of discourse to minor or smaller baseball, even all the way down to Little League from time to time. I tried to give them the kind of coverage that they would get from a Red Smith type. Red Smith, probably before your time, but he was my idol. I never thought anything, any of it, ever was beneath me, ever, ever. And I was privileged to be there, privileged to be there.
And even the little leaguers that you would do public address for, I think would appreciate that. And even, you know, every kid, when as soon as they don a uniform, it's in their mind. They envision themselves to be a big leaguer. It's fun to pretend. But I imagine, was it important to you to kind of enhance that and make those kids really do feel special as soon as they got the uniform and they're out there on the diamond?
Yeah, it really was. And I very seldom got announced into a ball game, but it really was. And I had an ironic thing. What turned out to be actually the last game that I ever covered was the Little League Series Championship in Niagara Falls. And I melded this story about this kid who had come actually out of nowhere, who had to pitch because they were down to the fourth pitcher due to various circumstances. And I went on and on about at what lowly station he had stood when the game began, and now he was the game's big hero. And in laying this out, I evidently offended his mother, who really wrote me a ripping letter about, why don't you think of how badly it would make him feel to look in there and see how far he was down the lineup before this happened? And I just said, ma'am, this is a measure of his greatness, that he was ignored and he stepped to the forefront. I don't know if I ever really did calm her down. But she said, before you ever write anything like that, you should think what it means to an 11-year-old. And I said, well, you know, I just ran it by my 11-year-old before, my 11-year-old grandson, I'd like to, who was a guy in an NCAA basketball game the other day that scored his only goal of the game, and it won the game. So I was talking about this kid's lowly station, and I got ripped out for it. I'm sure he's recovered.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he'll do just fine. Over the years, I'm sure you've also gotten some commentaries or some letters from people that maybe had some sort of critical. What were some of the more colorful ones that perhaps you look back on and laugh?
About 3 years ago, a coach was dismissed at midseason at Niagara University, and they never said why. And I didn't mind so much that he was dismissed, but in never saying why, this woman whom I had known for a long time was subject to a lot of rumors and innuendo. So I wrote a column criticizing the university, not for letting her go, but for not explaining whatsoever. I got 33 of the angriest emails you ever saw, to the point that Polly came in and said, why did you get into this? Everybody hates you. And, well, you know, you're so old and you don't need this. So I did a little more research, and I sent every one of those people a response. Every one of them, you may even have been there at that time, Mike, every one of them a response, every single one of them wrote back and said at least, aha, now I see what you were driving at. Most of them said, you're right, you're completely right, but even those who still disagreed with me now agreed with my point of view and felt that I had been fair of this. And I ran this by my minister, and she said, holy smokes, if I could get that sort of response out of a sermon, she said, I think I'd run for bishop. So that's my favorite story, that business with Niagara U. Were you there when that happened?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
And in the interest of disclosure to listeners, I'm kind of embarrassed, but you said you used to call me boss, which always embarrassed me.
Oh, well, why not? I call Mike Myler boss.
That's true.
I call my wife boss.
Well, you'd better call her boss. So,
yep.
Doug, I mean, your reasons for packing up and moving are family related. You're being closer to family.
We're both 80, and when you get to be 80, you will find out. If you live a good, pure life, you'll find that stuff happens to you. And our daughter said, "Why don't you be down here closer to us for the time when that stuff happens?" So she proposed that last September and said, why don't you do it in a couple of years? And I said, let's do it now.
And yet, as you mentioned earlier, when you moved down to Cortland, there's a local ball team there, the Cortland Crush,
yep,
in the New York Collegiate Baseball League. So while you might be leaving Western New York and leaving behind a lengthy career in local media, you're not entirely retiring.
No, right now I'm just looking forward to getting down there and getting unpacked.
And as you mentioned, there are some, the stadium lights are the glow of the stadium lights are within a throwing distance from you.
I can see it from my backyard. There is very little that's within throwing distance from me now, Mike. I've got a range of about 28 feet.
But you've got your lawn chair packed, I'm sure.